Thank you, Bob. It is 8:10 on this Tuesday morning. Eric Semel in studio. By the way, are you a fast food quick serve guy at all?
Yeah, like, you can look at me.
Do you like Five Guys?
Not really. They're kind of expensive.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, I don't understand. By the way, the algorithms under Musk are totally screwed up. But
yeah.
But Five Guys is trending, and I'm wondering why. And I think somebody posted, like, is it fast food or not? Because it's so expensive. I mean,
right.
You get a, for yourself, you get a burger, fries, and a milkshake. It's $25.
Yeah, you may as well go to a better restaurant.
But, you know, it McDonald's or Wendy's is $15.
No, they're only $20 plus range, too. You know, the thing is,
I would
range.
If I still think Five Guys is more expensive, but
if
it were equal, I would definitely go to Five Guys over McDonald's.
If I had a choice, if they're equal, yeah. But if I'm going to spend that kind of money, I'd rather go to a place that's going to get me a good craft beer.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Are you
for
a
me.
Beer snob?
No. But I like, if I'm going to spend that kind of money, I'd rather have a,
like, what's the best thing in your fridge right now?
The best thing in my fridge right now, sadly, is Corona.
And you want a good craft beer with
if
your
I'm
going to
spend that kind of money at, Brian, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's you right. Made it sound like you knew a craft beer. Then you'd tell me you got
that would be a reason.
First of all, I have Corona in my fridge, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it certainly wouldn't be the top thing I would throw out there. Anyway, how were Karen and Bob last week?
Oh, they were great. They were great. They,
what did they talk about?
Oh, you know, technology. And I can't remember the exact story as well. We talked about cybersecurity hacks that were happening. For over 5 years, and the Chinese are behind it, so it's a state-sponsored attack against some major security
players. Karen and Bob take a stand?
Of course. They just thought, you know, ooh, ah, wow, ooh, it's very interesting.
So those of you, and again, if you listen to Tech Tuesday, you know what we're talking about, but, you know, Computer Talk with Tab is 9 to 11 here on WTIC on Saturdays, and they have a segment in the show where Karen and Bob,
yes.
who are...
Not real.
Bots. Well, what do you call them?
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah. And you give them like a task.
A story.
And then they disseminate it for you?
Yeah, they do a deep dive. It's part of Notebook LM. It's a Google product if you want to check it out. Very interesting artificial intelligence. I find it really, really cool. And we just give Karen and Bob something to digest, and they spit out a story.
Now, do you give it to, like, these are typewritten prompts?
No, they literally come from news articles.
Do you record it? Like, how do you, like, on the show, I've never listened to it, so is it pre-recorded, the segment?
Yes, they'll do a deep dive, and they'll create an actual MP3.
Okay, and then you just play it.
We just send it over here to the station, and then they play it as a segment.
They send it to you?
You download it, and I send it here to the station, they play it as a segment.
And so when you give them the prompts, you just type it in?
We just give them the news article and say, do a deep dive
on
this.
But how do you give it to them?
You just actually, you give them a link right from the site, so right from the page, like any of these articles
that
I gave
them,
you.
Like, so there's a web page with a screen that says, you know, put your information here.
Exactly.
You press return, and then they spit it out.
Yes. Now you can also influence them, which, you know, you can actually have them look at certain specific aspects of the story, which I'm trying to be unbiased about, right? So originally we just dumped the story in and let them come up with the analysis. But now I'm actually saying, hey, you know, maybe focus on security or maybe focus on this. You can actually have them do their deep dives with whatever biases you want to put in.
How long does it take for the AI to generate it?
It's insanely fast. It's really crazy.
Cool. All right. So we have a bunch of items up for bid today. We'll talk about AirTags with Apple, maybe a little Intel. I really want to get into a little more of AI and this relationship with legacy media because, you know, Eric and I were talking off mic that, you know, the essential thesis is that, you know, legacy media is an essential part of AI, but everyone's ripping legacy media for being unreliable.
Right.
So what does that mean for AI?
Exactly.
You know, it's an interesting little cycle we're dealing with here. Eric Semel, Tab Computers, Computer Talk with Tab, Saturdays here on WTIC from 9 to 11.
Yep.
They'll answer any question you have, and if they can't answer it, they'll BS their way through
it. We'll do our best. Exactly. We'll give you a direction.
You know, and every week Eric gives me a series of stories, and we'll pick and choose which one's more interesting to us. I guess if you put your Apple AirTag in your luggage...
It's a new feature.
Then you'll be able to find, but is that, you have to give authorization or something?
That's the thing, yeah. So it's the new version of the iOS that's out is going to have this new feature where that you can put these Apple AirTags in your luggage, and then you can let others, in this case the airlines, be a part of finding your luggage if it gets lost. And so you can kind of share that
responsibility. But when you like book your ticket, you click, how do you?
No, that'd be separate. So
how do you let them know?
Well, it's, again, it's part of the feature, right? You're going to allow them to help you find your luggage if they lose it. So far, with luggage, it's so great as far as how they manage it these days. It's rare that you lose your luggage,
right,
unless you go overseas, let's say. But if you want to make sure you can find it, these AirTags can now be used. You share the consent to track your bag that you lost, and their airline can be informed, and that's kind of neat.
So it helps them out when they don't do their job.
Yeah, yeah.
Intel, we were just talking off mic how Intel, when it came to chips, it used to be the company.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
And then as the stock market is hitting new highs, they are a fraction of what they once were, but now they're getting sued or something?
They're getting sued. There's issues with their 13th and 14th gen CPUs. We've talked about it before. There's a problem with it, and they tend to crash, and there's some fixes that are out there, but there's now a class action happening. A New York man's going to sue them for, again, talking about the fact that you have these great capable chips, but they keep crashing and you have these issues. Now, we've never seen it in our client base. We have a very large client base with lots of, you know, thousands of systems that we support. We haven't seen this issue actually in the wild, but it is out there. And Intel's a mess. I mean, they've gotten out of all sorts of businesses. But I did hear that their coffee is still going to be made available for people who still work there even after layoffs.
There'll be more coffee available after I don't like to laugh about layoffs because it could be me tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You own your own business, so that's be a different issue for you. But listen, also criminals.
Yep.
Now, this story, they're using real addresses to hook people in. So how are you supposed to know that it's fake?
This is bad news. So we talked about a little bit on Saturday. The bad guys, the FBI is issuing a warning that the bad guys are getting into actual first responder like police and email addresses, right? And what they're doing is then taking those email addresses and actually asking big tech to respond to these EDRs, these emergency data requests that don't require any kind of court approval. So you can say, I want to do an emergency request on Brian's data in Facebook. And I can act as, you know, Sergeant Slaughter, let's say, whoever. And I don't know why that popped into my head.
That's perfect.
But and they're going to give it to him because it's coming from an actual government email address. So police and fire and all these folks, you really need to make sure you turn on your 2FA. Make sure you've upped your game in security. You are a target as well. And the FBI is warning that this is becoming
Because if you look at the source email address and it's real, I mean, because that's what I do.
Info.
That's my one thing as I look where it's coming from.
Right.
And if it's some weirdo address with a bunch of numbers and stuff, then I know it's not real.
It's a big deal. So just because you got a .gov at the end of your thing doesn't mean it's a trustworthy email.
That's a little scary.
A little bit.
He's Eric Semmel, Tab Computers. And again, it's Tech Tuesday, but his show is Computer Talk with Tab at Saturdays 9 to 11 here on WTIC News Talk 1080. The story I really want to talk about is really two stories, but I'm sort of combining the topic.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about ChatGPT and deepfakes and, you know, the AI relationship with legacy media. I guess I'll start with the ChatGPT. How does it know that someone's using it for a deepfake? Like, I don't understand how that whole
thing. Oh, that's all based on the prompting. So you can put your prompts in if you want to do some sort of deep fake about a candidate. It's going to be part of the prompt. You know, hey.
And ChatGPT can recognize it?
Oh, yeah. That's all input you're putting in. So they have these guardrails that say, hey, if you're going to put in and ask for deep fakes about Trump or Harris or whoever.
But you don't say, I would like a deep fake.
Well, you would say you'd like an image of so-and-so saying so-and-so. And the AI is also smart enough to recognize your face. So they've got some guardrails in there where they actually rejected these requests, 250,000 of them, believe it or not. That's a
during the whole election season?
Yeah. And redirected people to, you know, other locations to get more real information. So it directed 2 million people looking for answers to our traditional news sources on the day of the election itself.
So what's scarier is that 250,000 people tried to do it.
Right.
Or that
it's so easy.
AI figured it out.
I like that AI figured it out. That's the beauty part of AI. It's going to hopefully stop some of this lunacy that's going to be, you know, the technology being used for wrong.
It's impossible to know. Yeah. I mean, this whole information, people say it's not even disinformation anymore. It's just like the lack of understanding of how to find out what the actual information is.
Right. And that gets into our next story, right? There's such a low respect for legacy media these days.
Which doesn't mean, by the way, I don't mean to interject, but that doesn't mean that the people who are skeptical about legacy media are justified in all the criticism of legacy media.
No, they're not.
There are some legacy media elements that are still 100% accurate with what they do.
Of course. Yeah.
But the point you're making is that everyone rips legacy media, but legacy media is a core part of AI.
Well, thanks to Legacy Media, AI is actually using their content, excuse me, to actually train the model. And Legacy Media is not getting paid. So the Googles, the OpenAIs of the world find that Legacy Media stories and content are definitely a great place to train its AI models.
Because it's free or because it's accurate?
Well, it's well written. I don't know if it's accurate or free or any of that because they just rip it and steal it. I would contend that Legacy Media should be getting paid. As you would probably contend as well.
I mean, I do think that if the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or whatever is helping them do their thing, that they should be compensated. Some people are worried that that would blow up the model or the incentive, the profit motive for some of these companies could be very expensive to just to generate the information. But the bigger issue is that if people don't trust Legacy Media, then they shouldn't trust AI.
Well, there's that and the fact that even Legacy Media is coming out with AI to write their stories. So you're going to have AI-written stories by Legacy Media. You're not going to have people actually writing them anymore. And you're going to have AI then ripping the information, which produces hallucinations and blows up the model as well. So we're going to be into an age the information age is going to be so questionable as to what's real and what's not. That we really need, I would think, the Legacy Media to get its act together and actually start trying to be more fair and balanced to get that information out.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a huge conversation because I feel like I think there's a lot of media that actually tries to be more objective and either just people assume they're not. And there are Legacy Media that does have a bias and they should be more transparent. But I don't think there's a business model that allows a lot of even like media is trying to do well to be able to cover more. That's the problem.
It is a problem. But again, if AI pays them, it's supposedly AI is going to make a lot of money for everybody.
Then
so
they would have the financial.
Correct.
But that's the chicken or the egg thing because they're not going to get – unless they get paid sooner than later –
right.
These companies aren't going to ramp up coverage and spend that money until the other money's coming in.
Right.
Do you see a day where like all these news outlets will get paid if they're included in the algorithms for
AI? Hope so. I think that if for Legacy Media to survive and for the fact that we need Legacy Media to actually hold our politicians accountable to what they're doing with the full story, I think the country needs it to actually work. And so we need to have lawmakers look at ways to help Legacy Media actually make money. If AI is going to be ripping them off and stealing their information to train their models, AI should be compensating them for doing that, period.
It could inhibit innovation in the space if the startup costs for AI stuff is too much.
AI startup costs are wildly expensive. It's a huge bubble. They're buying nuclear power plants, Brian.
That's what I mean.
Nobody's shedding a tear for Microsoft, Google, or OpenAI. Okay. I mean, they got plenty of money. The AI is here to stay, and don't worry about them. Worry about the fact that they have to train their stuff on the rest of us. That's where our problem lies. And I mean, you write a book, you write a story, you write something on their cloud. Are they using it to train AI? I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's not fair.
Well,
somebody should get compensated.
I think they troll the entire
internet.
Yes,
they do.
So,
and your agreement is like you allow them to take everything, right? So that's a problem.
His name is Eric Semmel. Tab Computers, Computer Talk with Tab, Saturdays 9 to 11 here on WTIC, and you can catch him every Tuesday, barring some interview that's more important.
Exactly.
For Tech Tuesday. It's always good to see you, Eric.
You too, Brian.